Let's get to the BetQL guest line and welcome in our friend Andrew Siciliano. Yo, what's up, man? How are you?
Yeah, JP, Mitch, how are you guys? Sorry,
you're doing good, man.
Through security at LAX. Sincere apologies,
dude. All good, all right, man.
We understand that.
Yeah.
Hey, good. You don't have to say security. It's LAX.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. How are you guys? Everything good?
We are doing well, man. I imagine you got to be kind of excited to come back home this weekend.
I am very, very, very excited because, yeah, man, this is like little kid's dream come true. Are you kidding me? Like, grew up there, get to come home, get to go to, what do we call it now? Northwest.
Right? Northwest Stadium.
Yeah,
that's right.
Northwest, exactly. Sorry, guys, taking my earbuds out. This works a lot better. Dude, I'm excited. Like, for those who don't know, I grew up at Reston, went to South Lakes, but my dad's from Cleveland, so we were raised Browns fans, even though the Skins back then were winning Super Bowls, you know, every other week, and we were supposed to root for them, and we did, but my dad made us Browns fans, so, like, this is, like, the coolest thing of all time, honestly. So family's going to be there, get to come home, and hopefully get to have a good game, you know? Yeah. Hopefully this is a good one.
So what's been your perception of what's been going on here with Jaden Daniels?
Honestly, I couldn't be happier for the fan base and for everyone that's kind of been wandering through the football desert for the last 20 years. I think it's kind of like what we had here in L.A. I've been here 25 years now. And when I got here, I realized we kind of lost a whole generation of fans between, like, 2000 and 17 or 16 when the Rams and the Chargers came back, because, like, you had this entire generation that didn't have a team to root for, and they just watched fantasy football on Sunday Ticket. And I realize that's an extreme. That's not exactly what we had there, but you had enough apathy, right, where you kind of lost a generation. You know, kids played fantasy football, didn't root for the hometown team, and now Jaden Daniels. And, look, I know we went through this in 2012 with RG3 briefly, and this kind of sort of feels like that, but I think this has a lot more staying power, and what Jaden is doing is historic. Don't want to get too excited. It's only 4 weeks, but you guys have seen it firsthand. It's not just the play, but it's the attitude. It's the leadership. It's everything else he brings in and out of the building. It's special, and, you know, it's exactly what this team and this town needs.
It really is, man. It's been like we did an hour of calls of how confident people are. And you know well enough that folks in this town generally ain't that confident about the old burgundy and gold. And it is changing, man. It's changing now. It's changing fast. It's changing before our eyes. But, dude, I want to lean on, I mean, all the work you're doing with the Browns now, you know the Browns. And that defense was excellent last year. They're still good, but it doesn't seem to be the same as it looked last season. What's coming to town in this Cleveland team?
You know, it's a good question. The defense is still good, and they have still had plenty of great moments, particularly in the second half. Like, you look what they did second half week one against the Cowboys. Now, granted, they gave up a couple of explosives in the first half. Second half, they shut them down. And in that game, the Cowboys had 4 field goal drives that totaled, I think, 50 yards.
Wow.
In the second half against the Giants, yes, Malik Nabers, and those points still count, and that's the issue. Yes, Malik Nabers had 2 touchdowns in the first half, but the second half, they totally shut them down. And the same last week goes for the Raiders. For the most part, in the fourth quarter, they kept getting off the field, shutting them down. But the problem is the offense hasn't done enough after the first drive. They have points. I know the Commanders, 16 straight drives, that's amazing. Yay. They're not there. The Browns aren't there. But they do have scoring drives on their opening drive. In all 5 games. Last week, opening drive, they went 15 plays, 70 yards, took 9.5 off the clock. That's absurd. But after that opening drive, they got nothing. And the defense, or rather the offense, goes to sleep in the second and third quarter. Fourth quarter, they've had chances each of the last 2 weeks. Both the Raiders and the Giants, in essence, handed them the game in each of the last 2 weeks in the fourth quarter, and the offense couldn't do anything. Now they had an 82-yard touchdown call back last week on a highly suspect holding call. So if you pretend that didn't happen, then, well, you can't. But if you did, then, yeah, Deshaun Watson by far played his best game in a Browns uniform. And things are looking up. But they need the defense to create turnovers, score points, and give them short fields more often than they're doing.
Is it a dependence on the defense more than the offense being able to just hold their part?
No, so far it's on the offense, Brian. Like, if you look at the numbers – I mean, they're at the bottom of the league in at least the bottom three or four in a whole bunch of categories. The offensive efficiency isn't there. Third down isn't there. First down, I mean, they're rushing for only 3 yards. No, the problem right now is offense, and the problem for a huge part of it is the offensive line. They've been just destroyed by injuries on the offensive line. It's a rotating door every week as to who's coming in and who's coming out. And regardless of who is playing on the O-line, and I think they're getting healthier this week, they're having a lot of trouble picking up simple games, stunts, twists, any games up front, and teams are blitzing them to death, and they're getting to Deshaun on the money downs, and that's a massive issue. People want to give Deshaun grief for not at least throwing the ball into the end zone on 4th-and-3 last week with the game on the line. Christian Wilkins beats a rookie right guard off the line at the snap and blows the play up. You got to give him some credit as well.
What is the latest? We're talking with our friend Andrew Siciliano. You can listen to him this weekend calling the game for the Browns Radio Network. Obviously, we all watched Andrew do DirecTV Red Zone Channel for years and years and years. Dude, what's the deal with Nick Chubb? Do you think he's playing this week? Is it still too early in that process?
Yeah, I think it's too early. I don't know for certain. Stefanski talks within the next hour. I'd be very surprised if he plays this week. They opened the window Wednesday, so his first practice was, 48 hours ago. I'd be stunned if he's out there this week. I wouldn't be that surprised if he's out there next week. But they're not going to open up that 21-day window unless they think that he is close. But I think the emotional lift he gave this team this week in the building cannot be overstated. What is that worth on Sunday? That remains to be seen. But he is citizen number one and fan favorite number one. He can do no wrong, and his work ethic and his understated energy changes a lot for that team.
I bet. And obviously, as good of a player as Chubb is, arguably the best defensive player in football is on that Browns D-line. Where is Myles Garrett? I know he's been on the injury report. I also know he had 2 sacks last week.
After being on it.
Right. Where is Garrett's game right now, and how big of a threat is he Sunday?
He's as big of a threat as he's ever been, and he's got 3 injuries. Well, I think we're calling it foot, thigh, and Achilles, or foot, thigh, and ankle. I can't remember. He has 4 sacks, and he's a force. And I think the frustrating part about that 82-yard touchdown called back last week when they got the center, Nick Harris, on a hold is that Myles Garrett is held probably 5 to 6 times in far more egregious fashion every game that is not called. He's held on every play, especially on every third down. He still has 4 sacks, and he is playing with multiple injuries, including an injury to his feet. He had childhood foot issues. He had surgery as a kid on his feet, and that's kind of now coming full circle where he may have to do something again after the season. He's practicing pretty much one day a week and then going out there and toughing it out and still – getting PFF grades for whatever that's worth of 90 seemingly every week. So he's still the guy.
How's the secondary in Cleveland?
Well, I mean, they're missing Juan Thornhill, the safety who got hurt week 1, who probably played the former Chief, the UVA guy, who probably played his best game as a Brown week 1 against the Cowboys. And we haven't seen him since. He's probably back in a week or two. I'm just guessing. It was a calf. Look, they have 3 excellent corners. They would argue they have the best trio of corners in the NFL with Denzel Ward and Greg Newsome and Martin Emerson, MJ Emerson. Emerson's been picked on a little bit the last 2 weeks. He is a long, physical dude who, for example, has had great games against Mike Evans, right? Great games against Jamar Chase. That's his game. That's why you have him. Malik Nabers gave him some trouble. Little speedy guys like Trey Tucker gave him some trouble last week. But for the most part, they think – those 3 dudes are dudes, but they miss Juan Thornhill.
Thornhill's a good player, but, I mean, Ward is so good. Flip it to the other side of the field for us. Cooper and Judy, Watson hasn't really gotten it going much, but, I do think although they were better last week, the Commander secondary is quite beatable. What's the health and the status kind of? Is Njoku back? Like, what is the threat level of this Browns aerial attack?
So Njoku will know again in an hour. He practiced Wednesday, didn't practice Thursday. So we'll see. Honestly, I have no read on that one. The offense is better with him, period. The offense is a bit different this year with Ken Dorsey, but in the Stefanski, I don't want to call it pure Shanahan system, but, you know, everything runs to the tight end, so everything is better when he is out there. Amari Cooper is still Amari Cooper, but he's got a lot of drops, and he has been an issue this year. Not an issue like he's some kind of malcontent who's bringing the team down, but he and Deshaun have not gotten on the same page. They've said that repeatedly. When last Deshaun Watson and Amari Cooper were at FedEx, he had a couple of touchdowns. I think it was a Week 18 game a few years ago when Deshaun had come back late in the year after the suspension. I was watching some of that this morning, and we haven't seen those 15, 20-yard in-cuts and those deep shots downfield from him this year. We simply haven't. Last week, he had a 30-yard ball in his hands on his chest at the 30-yard line in the fourth quarter that would have changed the game. The Browns probably win. It was one of Deshaun's better balls of the season, and it bounced right off his hands up into the air. Trayvon Merrick picked it off, took it back to midfield. 6 plays later, the Raiders scored. It hasn't worked yet, necessarily, but yet he has 2 touchdowns, which is the team high. Jerry Jeudy has been great. Everybody gave them grief when they traded for and then paid Jerry Jeudy. In retrospect, the contract that they gave him was before all the other receiver deals blew up this summer and looks like a bargain in retrospect.
So Deshaun, what were you – he gets all the blame. We know that. But is it him not being what he was, or he's not getting enough help?
I think, honestly, it's a lot, Brian. I think a lot goes back to the O-line as well, and I'm not blaming the O-line because you go back and you look at some tape and you're like, all right, how does Deshaun not see that? He's got to rip that one. The O-line, just the injuries, it's been a mess from day one, whether it's not having Jed Wills back or not having Jack Conklin back, but then they do come back and then that last 5 minutes because you get hurt again, or DeJuan Jones, who is toughing it out, who was all rookie team at right tackle last year. He had off-season knee surgery as well. He comes back, he's ready to go week one, but clearly the knee's not right, and he's a bigger dude. So, it's a lot of weight being carried around on that knee, struggling in pass pro. You're working in a new offense where Stefanski and Ken Dorsey try to get on the same page together, and I think it looks good, but you're going a lot empty, 5 wide, no one to help this offensive line that's struggling with injuries. So it's been a challenge, let's put it that way. But, of course, as you know, the quarterback always gets the blame.
Yeah, I mean, the Watson thing has just become so bizarre at this point. I mean, losing Wyatt Teller has to be a huge situation, right?
I'm sorry, say that again, JP.
Didn't they lose Teller? Didn't he have to go to IR also?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Virginia Tech's Wyatt. I'm sorry, someone just walked by.
All good.
Wyatt Teller, yeah. He's got an MCL. He got hurt against the Giants, and that really, I mean, that turned everything you do. Like chaos emergency when he left, and then you had your center lead. No, your center get banged up. I won't bore you with the O-line issues, but at that point you had Joel Bitonio playing left tackle. You had your center playing left guard. You had your backup center playing center. You had a rookie playing right guard. And then you had your right tackle who had left the game injured, forced back onto the field because they had no bodies left.
Jeez.
And that was all dominoes that kind of started when Wyatt Teller got hurt in that game. So he is not there. And again, you have Jack Zinner, who the Browns love, you know, third round pick out of Michigan, who was playing great last year for the national champions before he broke his leg against Ohio State. They took him as more of a developmental pick, coming back off the injury. In Jacksonville week two, they used him as the 6th offensive lineman, used him in jumbo sets, really as a tight end. And it worked great, but then they forced him to start with a Teller injury. It's, you know, he's getting there, but they probably didn't, you know, see him starting key road games in September as a rookie.
Hey, man, I really appreciate you making time for us.
Andrew,
I know you're traveling and a busy fella. And I'll see you Sunday, man. That'll be fun.
I am looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to beautiful weather. And, it's good to be back home, guys. Can't wait to see you.
All right, man.
Thank you. Andrew Siciliano, follow him on Twitter. I sent some stuff out. You can find it. It's Siciliano.